Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Inside Scoop Live, the live audio program brought to you by ReaderHughes.com. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I have on the program author Louise Lewis, and we are going to be talking about her new book titled No Experts Needed, The Meaning of Life According to You. Louise Lewis has 2 decades of experience in marketing and advertising, having held senior level positions on the client advertising and ad sales sides of business. Louise considers herself a self-growth junkie, continuing to seek light, love, and wisdom in her daily life. With an innate passion for spiritual growth, she has a strong desire to give back to the world. Along with the inspiration and direction received from Spirit, Louise continues to touch the lives of all she meets. Born and raised in Louisiana, she received a bachelor's degree in communication at California State University in Fullerton. She now resides in Southern California and volunteers at Children's Hospital of Orange County. So thanks for joining us today, Louise, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Great. So take us back to the beginning of this whole story of yours. I understand that it was through the loss of your job that a new direction for your life started, and you kind of call this your new chapter. So how did your life change? What were the circumstances?
Well, yes, I was one of the lucky victims of the dot-com implosion. For 2 years prior, people were getting pink slipped all around me. So when it came my turn, I really wasn't that shocked or surprised, but it still gave me one heck of a jolt. And I was sitting in the San Jose, California airport just panicking over what I was going to do. You know, where was I going to find a job if everybody had already gotten laid off and companies were already pulling back?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the best way to describe it is I was just vulnerable enough and desperate enough, I guess, where I just, you know, said, what am I going to do, God? Help me. And in that moment, I did receive a message from what I call Spirit, but for me, Spirit is divine intervention and God and the highest, you know. And basically, the message was, you know, this is just a new chapter in your life, and you are going to be okay.
Mm.
And then as I just sat there, just the weight of the world just lifted off my shoulders, and I just listened, you know, and another message came. And this is the message that just changed my world. It said, you hold the pen, I'll guide your hand, and together we'll write one hell of a chapter.
Oh, gosh.
And in that moment, I knew in an instant my world had just changed.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know how, when, where, why, or anything,
mm-hmm.
but I just knew it had changed.
That's incredible. You know, a lot of people in that same position could have just spiraled down so fast, you know, and for this to happen to you. So you don't really know what it was. Was it the asking of the question, do you think?
You know, it's funny that you use the word spiral down because in the book, obviously, I go in length, but I envisioned myself spiraling down into a depression.
Yeah.
And I kind of jokingly said to myself, you know, well, you know, this is a great time to go get depressed. You know, you've been working since you're 16 years old, and you deserve it, you know, just
mm-hmm.
to wallow in this. And as I saw myself spiraling down, you know, in the vision, I also saw God's cupped hands rising up from under me, and I plopped in his hands.
Wow.
And, I mean, it sounds so funny, but I physically plopped in my chair in the waiting area of the airport.
Oh, that's funny.
And I looked around to see if anybody saw me jump in my chair.
Wow.
So it was, you know, it was a whole interaction in that airport just, you know, minutes after I got set free from my job that it was enough to just jolt me out of reality, I guess, you know, reality of what I call my ego of, you know, my ego saying, oh, my God, we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never find a job and all this. And I guess, like I said, I was vulnerable enough of messages that come to me to jolt me out of that ego to totally turn to Spirit.
Yeah.
To turn inward, to listen, to be guided.
Sounds like a really deep level of just surrender.
That's a wonderful word. I love that word, Brenda. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little more about the messages. And, you know, I'm sure we have a few skeptics listening today. So how did you know that these were really messages from spirit and not just, you know, conjurings of your imagination or whatever?
Well, I love skeptics because a lot of times I am one myself. Mm-hmm. But let me quickly say, it's not like I hear voices or it's not that woo-woo kind of stuff. But the difference is, well, for one thing, everybody receives messages. Whether you listen to them or not, that's another story. Mm-hmm. And when I say spirit in the book, I intentionally use the word spirit to embrace all walks of faith, beliefs, religions, cultures, because I believe when you hear the word spirit, you have your own definition. Now, some people might call it, you know, little s, like school spirit, you know, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may take it to the capital S, spirit of the highest divine, from your creator, God, whatever you want to call it, and that's fine too. What's important is find what it means to you, but I think no matter what, you have to go inside and get quiet to listen.
Mm.
And my message to me personally, is Louise, just shut up and listen. It's to turn off the mind chatter.
Mm-hmm.
It's to stop the ego and, like, you know, just said, surrender.
Mm.
Get vulnerable and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really do that, you will be surprised and you will start hearing the difference between your own mind talking to you and what I call a heavy thought, a thought that is just persistent, that kind of just drags its feet across your mind. And as most, you know, normal humans, we just poo-poo that kind of thought. Oh, I'm not, that's just in my head. That's just me. But once you really start listening to it and acting upon that thought, as soon as it comes in, you will be absolutely amazed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know that that kind of differentiating the ego from spirit is a real key lesson for this book. So do you feel that we need to transcend the ego? Do you have suggestions on how the ego can manifest? And you know, for readers of this book, how can they pinpoint that it actually is the ego?
Oh, I think, you know, it's a gut feeling for me, and I think maybe for most people. And it takes a little practice, but I jokingly say, you know, we have to befriend our ego. It is there. We are human. But I treat it as a two-year-old throwing a tantrum sometimes. For me, and I'm not an expert, obviously, and, you know, anything like that, but for me, I think housed in the ego are such things as fear, uncertainty, doubt, feelings of inadequacy, insecurity, that whole you can't do it, you're crazy for thinking you can write a book kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That's all ego. And it's a survival mechanism. And we should use ego to our benefit. But unfortunately, sometimes we only listen to those words. The old saying, we stand in our own way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's ego. That's our fear. And I think once we just say, okay, ego, I hear you. Now go sit in the corner and behave. You know, what they call it, the naughty corner. Go over there. Once we just set it aside, then spirit has time and place to fill up our world.
Oh, that's
and once
beautiful.
We get quiet and start listening to that state and acting upon those messages, your world will just open up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the book shows, just me walking through everyday life, listening to spirit's messages the first time, you know, it doesn't have to, you know, hit the repeat button for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the messages sent me to certain places, to meet certain people, to hear unbelievable stories.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, I didn't care if anybody believed me, but I knew I was listening to the right message when those things happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kept happening and happening and grew. And my story, my journey grew, and where I just had to put it between covers and share it with the world.
Absolutely. I think that there's something really powerful, and this is, you know, I really hear this in your message and what you're saying, that if you just listen and you follow that and you know, life starts to really line up and synchronicities happen and, you know, seeming coincidences happen, you know that something, you know, you're on an amazing path.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So tell us how the idea for No Experts Needed came about, and then tell us a little bit about this book.
Well, you're asking such great questions. I was on celebrating my birthday alone one night, so I went to this certain restaurant and ordered a glass of wine before dinner, and I was writing in my journal, which I always do.
Mm-hmm.
And from the left side, you know, came a little voice, said, you know, I mean a human voice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, you're working too hard. And, of course, I had just gotten laid off a few weeks prior, so I, you know, saw the irony in that statement. So I giggled, and long story short, we had this long conversation. He was not trying to hit on me or anything like that. And we just got into a real conversation. I learned his whole life story almost, and it was just a conversation at a great level, not anything superficial or anything. And then all of a sudden, as I'm listening to him speak, my mind split in two. And I don't remember my mind ever splitting in two, and I so understand that, you know, that phrase now.
Mm-hmm.
The front part of my mind was listening to him very intently. I can repeat word for word what he was saying to this day. But the back of my mind started receiving a message, and it said, you now know what to do, and you now know your question.
Oh.
Well, a few weeks prior to that, and I'll make this really short, I was watching an Oprah episode. She had had CNN reporters around the world ask people on the street one question.
Mm-hmm.
And the question she had those reporters ask was, what do you think about Americans? I fell in love with this show.
Mm.
It was a toe-curling, you know, toe-tingling, excited kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea why. You know, I know I love Miss Oprah, but, you know, enough is enough, you know. And I just knew, oh, I have to do that one day. That would be so fun. I'm going to Italy in a few months. It'd be so fun to do that. And then I got so excited where I just consciously had to put it out of my head. So that night on my birthday, when I received that message, you now know what to do. You now know your question. I just said, yeah, I know it. And so my mind came back together. I let, you know, the young man, you know, finish his comment, and then I just kind of blurted out, I have a question to ask you. I'm running a book, and would you like to be the first in my book? And these words leaving my mouth, I was just astonished.
That's amazing.
Where did that come from?
Yeah.
But then I knew.
You knew.
I knew where it came from, and I knew I was put on a path, and I just walked through my life, whether it's here or abroad or within my family or quote-unquote strangers. I just would have a great conversation with somebody because I believed they were crossing my path for a reason.
Mm.
And we connected, and then after we would speak for about an hour or so, I said, well, I happen to be writing a book. Would you like to be in it? And I would not tell the question to anybody until they agreed. It had to be a spontaneous, all or nothing at all kind of thing.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I believe that what you know right now is your truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I ask anybody, you know, what is the meaning of life, mail me your answer, I would get back volumes from each person. But I believe that God lives in the spontaneous moment.
Mm-hmm.
What you know right now. It may not sound as pretty as you want, but it's your truth. And it can change tomorrow, and that's okay. But my whole mission in life is start asking yourself this tough question, meaning of life, and others as well.
Mm-hmm.
And allow yourself the freedom to answer it, and then just, you know, tweak it tomorrow. It's okay, but just stop yourself in life and start asking these questions to yourself.
And that's where the No Experts Needed comes in, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little more about that title. I love that title.
Oh, thank you. I do, too.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, a coworker, I called her up, and you know, I really had respected her, and she was a great mentor for me. Called her up, asked her to be in the book, and this was so unlike my normal MO that I was going to just, you know, take it over the phone and, you know, just tell her right out and all this. And she said, no, I don't think so. And I was surprised, and I thought, well, wow, okay, well, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, you know, if Plato and Socrates and, you know, everybody else can't come up with an answer, who am I to say? And my entire being said, oh, I don't think so. You know your answer.
Mm.
So I didn't say anything out loud, and it just laid in me for years until I came to, you know, titling the book. And one of my friends said, well, I read sometime that, you know, you pull from your experiences or some story, and that, you know, therein lies the title.
Yeah.
And as soon as he said that, I connected with what she said. Mm. No experts need it. You know your truth. You just have to take the time, get quiet, and listen, and then follow.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just, it truly was in the book, you know, in my experience all along. And I really thought the title was going to be something else years ago,
mm-hmm.
until we really started working on the title, and it just popped its head up.
There it was.
Yeah, and I thought, that's the title.
You know? That's it. You know, I really, really like the idea as well that all of the answers that we seek to life's questions and our own personal truth and meaning of life are found within us. So, Louise, why don't we already know this?
But you do.
We do. But why don't we know that we know?
Well, we're humans. We get busy in life, and we start following the cues of society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I call it, you know, the mob mentality, you know, all good sometimes and all bad sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But we just, you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but we're lazy creatures too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We take the path of least resistance and all that stuff. But, you know, you do know, everybody knows, but sometimes it can be scary for somebody.
Yeah.
Because one question leads to you know, another layer of that onion we've got to peel back to get to the part where we cry,
yeah.
where it's uncomfortable. But on the other side is the truth,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the truth shall set you free.
What about change? Do you think that people are at a point, you know, when they start unpeeling that onion, like you say, that they know they're going to have to change? Something's going to change in their life, and they're scared of that?
Oh, absolutely. You nailed it right there.
Mm.
Change is like evil to some people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does affect your entire world and, you know, the people around you, because one minor change in you is a big ripple effect through your life.
Yeah.
And you have other questions, you know, here I am changing. I'm shedding my old bark, you know. For example, when I would do my walks, I see trees, you know, shed their bark. And that's growth. That's new. But when you do that, the world doesn't recognize you anywhere.
Oh, that's a great point. I love
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm. And so it kind of forces them. They're looking at you and all this wonderful growth and change, and you're bright and you're happy, and they're still stuck with the, you know, the yang-yangs of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And they've got a decision now, and they don't want to think.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to have to, you know, decide anything. And you see that friction in your life, and it's a choice for everybody. You know, what path do you want to take? Do you want to stay stuck with that circle of friends or motivate them to follow you on the growth path?
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. You will lose some friends forever or a short period, but you've got to decide.
Yeah.
Whose life is it, you know?
Yeah.
How do you want to live it? Where do you want to be?
Mm-hmm. And just trusting and moving forward and knowing life is going to unfold in amazing ways.
Absolutely, and it does.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just to take those first few steps.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Hi there. Whether you've already written your manuscript or are contemplating writing one, you will need to create a book proposal. ReaderViews has a coaching service to help you create an enticing book proposal for your work of fiction or nonfiction. In fact, ReaderViews will even submit your book proposal to publishers and agents they have created a relationship with, and then they promise to pursue these submissions. Go to ReaderViews.com today and click on Services for Authors to find out more information on book proposals and how ReaderViews can help you.
And now back to Inside Scoop Live with your host, Juanita Watson.
So what are your thoughts on religion versus spirituality? You know, you talk about spirit with a capital S. Do you think there's a difference, and what are your thoughts on that?
Most times I think it's totally separated.
Yeah.
And I think religion has really done a bad thing for people's spirits sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised Catholic, you know, from 0 to 18, went to church every Sunday, had to, my, you know, mom would have killed me had I not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Went to catechism every Saturday. So I guess I was fortunate in growing up just believing, you know, it is just what it is and there's no two ways about it. But when I was on my own at 18, it was my first, you know, stroke of independence. I'm not going to church anymore because it never spoke to me. I never connected, you know, and what they talked about was over my little brain, you know, my kid's brain, and then they were always collecting money, so
yeah,
the spirit was never there for me, I mean,
yeah.
Quite honestly.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I studied, you know, Eastern philosophy and everything. I mean, you know, I walked in every, you know, library and just went to that section and every bookstore and just learned, you know, about everything
mm-hmm.
until I found myself, basically, and asked myself all these questions and what do you, I mean, I never stopped believing in God, but, I mean, I just, you know, read about all teachers, and then until I started growing into my own belief system,
mm-hmm.
where I do think it's possible to come full circle to where I don't go to church right now, I mean, a church under a roof type of thing, but I could go back, and it means so much more to me, and I get it now. I can separate what I call the man-made stuff from the spirituality of it and my connection to God. But, you know, and I'm being nice. There's the other side of religion that just makes my toes curl,
yeah.
and I get so angry.
Because mm-hmm.
I think they've turned away a lot of people from trying to find their spirit.
Because mm-hmm.
I believe God lives within us. You know? So when I say go inside, you know, I'm totally not saying for anybody to not follow their religion, but your spirit and God's spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know, is inside of you. So if you ain't going inside and listening, you know, then going to church every Sunday ain't doing you any good,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I think
there's got to be a connection there.
Yes, and a lot of people on the spiritual path that are seeking, you know, really come to a point where they do come full circle. So I'm so glad that you said that, and it, you know, to finally bring it down to what's in your own heart.
Absolutely. It's an intimate relationship that we have with fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
I call it God.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may call it, you know, the universe or their creator or whatever you decide, that's fine. But just know that it is a personal relationship, but like any relationship, it's got to keep growing and get deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, my message is, you know, keep turning inside and listening to those messages because those messages are for you
mm-hmm.
to be wonderful, so that wonderful person and beautiful person that you are. And it's there to guide you along this path of growth to getting higher and higher to the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not listening,
oh, yeah.
Oh my God, ego is so going to take us on a different path.
completely, completely different.
Yeah.
So in your book, I know that it is part memoir, part your own story, and then the accumulation of how many stories, how many people are showcased or spotlighted in your book?
Oh, it's well over 100, probably 100,
oh,
I kind of lost count, I think it's 150-something.
That's amazing. Did you notice any similarities or come to any conclusions about, you know, with that many people interviewed, kind of the state of humanity? Because this is really, it was kind of global, right? It's not just from the United States.
Well, I want to make it more global, so when I get a traditional publisher to, you know, pick it up and give me a big advance check, I can really take it global.
Oh, okay.
But I only went to Australia and to Italy.
Okay.
And mostly, but it's mostly, you know, the U.S.
Okay.
But the common themes, I call it the three Fs. They revolve around faith, family, and friends.
Mm.
And no matter who I spoke with, where they were, what religion, race, culture, creed, anything, there was, for most people, a common theme of that. And that one reason I would love to take it global is just to back up what I think my gut feel knew since the day I was born, is that we are all so more alike than unalike,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many things in common that should bond us instead of tearing us apart.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. One of the other key lessons, you know, we talked about ego versus spirit earlier. What about balance? I know you talk a lot about balance, and this is a real key issue for you. Tell us a little bit about having balance in life.
Well, balance is definitely tied into your answer to what is the meaning of life. Because once you answer that for you, then you should live your life around those things that mean most to you in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we all do our little pie chart and see where we spend our time, that is definitely an eye-opener. Of course, we all have to work. That's, you know, just reality. But after that, you know, how much time is spent on entertainment or just shopping or, you know, if we just really break it down and then compare that little pie chart of our time to our answer of what is the meaning of life. You know, family is definitely always mostly included in everybody's answer.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at your pie chart of time, how much time are you really spending with your family?
Mm.
And then go deeper than that, how much quality time, not just sitting in front of the TV with them or watching them on the computer, but really one-on-one, heart-to-heart quality time. So balance is, you know, finding your meaning and then living your life accordingly.
That's great. So what initial advice would you have to people that may have just encountered, you know, a real traumatic change in their life, whether it be a loss of job like you did, maybe a relationship ending or, you know, an illness diagnosis? What are your initial thoughts on what they can do so they don't spiral down, so they can remain calm and centered?
Oh, you know, first is just to accept reality that if you've been on this planet for at least 5 breaths, something bad is going to happen in your life.
Mm.
We all know that, and I'm really a positive person, but that, you know, reality dictates that. But my main key is be prepared as much as possible. And for me, knowing my meaning of life and what it meant to me did help. And, you know, for me, it was in that moment just listening to a higher voice. But just know that something bad is going to happen. You can't prepare for everything because God knows, you know, I mean, losing a job is bad. I know that, but more people suffer far worse. But if you're prepared for something that's, you know, about ready to shake your world to your core, if you're prepared, you'll weather that storm a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Great, great advice. Do you want to share one of the stories in your book?
Oh, well, wonderful question. I think I said back that when I was listening along my path, I was sent to certain places and certain people. One quick story is I got in my car one night and I was going to go out to dinner. I had no idea where I was going, but I got in my car and just started driving. And all of a sudden, I received a message that said, "You're going to Bayside." Now, Bayside was the very first restaurant where my book got started.
Oh.
And that's what I said. Oh, okay. Okay. And I said, I no longer question the messages. I'm going there.
Yeah.
So I went there, sat at the bar, ordered a glass of wine, got my journal out and looked around, said, "Okay, God, here I am. Bring it on. Let's go, you know, why am I here? Am
bring
I here
it
to
on.
Meet my next boyfriend or what?"
Yeah, you know, right.
Bring it on. I kind of looked around the bar for cute faces, you know. Didn't see any, so I just kind of continued writing in my journal. As soon as I just got quiet, on my right-hand side, I heard a man say, "Oh, you're working too much." And I looked at him, and then he said, "Are you writing a book?" And I'm looking at him like he's crazy, but I think, okay, here we go. This
yeah.
is it. And I just blurted it out. Unlike my regular MO of talking for, you know, a long time in a deep conversation, I just blurted out, "Yes, I am. Do you want to be in my book?" And so I explained, you know, I asked people one question, a spontaneous answer is required. And he said, "Well, no, what's the question?" I said, "I'm sorry, it's, you know, all or nothing at all." And he just looked at me and said, "Nope, I don't think so."
Oh.
And just turned around.
Oh, gosh.
So I said, "Well, I don't think you're the one I'm supposed to meet here." So I just kind of giggled and started writing in my journal. In about 2.3 seconds, he spun around, looked at me and said, "Okay, you got me. What's the question?" So I handed him the piece of paper, and he read the question, and he started chuckling. And so I looked at him, and I said, "Okay, come on, dish here, you know." He said, "Well, I've been thinking about this question for about 18 months now." And I said, "Oh, why?" He said, "Well, within that period of time, my son was killed in an automobile accident, and my father died, and my uncle died, all in 18 months."
Wow. Period.
And my, you know, as they say, my jaw was just on the floor.
Yeah.
And so he started writing out his answer. And as respectfully as I could, I, you know, kind of watched him from the corner of my eye. and searched his face, thinking that I was going to find some kind of anger or resentment or bitterness or something, some dark cloud over his head, but there was nothing. He looked so peaceful, and I just thought, God, he's got to be so spiritual, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he handed me the paper, and I read his answer, and basically it is, you know, that he has a purpose on life, and there's a reason and things like that, and being the person that I am, you know, inquisitive mind, I kind of pushed the envelope a little further, and I just said, how have you survived? Mm. And he just looked at me so sweetly and simply said, I believe in God.
Mm.
And then he just kind of walked away, and I sat there in amazement of all that had happened, you know, why I was sent there, you know, him turning me down initially, then agreeing, and then telling me that story.
Mm.
It just... I just sat there in awe, you know, just of what happens when you just stop and listen and follow that first message you receive in your brain.
Yeah.
Don't believe me, you know, be the skeptic, but just do it for a month. I try it. Anybody.
Yeah.
Do it for a full month. You will be amazed at what happens in your life.
That's so true. Very, very good advice. And even just for a month, just try it. That's great.
That's it. Be the skeptic and challenge me. And then email me after. But I promise you, you will be amazed.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. You know, I really want to ask you what the meaning of life is for you, but I have a feeling that you wouldn't tell me if I asked, so I'm not going to ask.
You're psychic.
Yeah.
Well, I love people to find it in the book. It's not, you know, you have to read the book. And the reason I do that, not just to be a brat, but I think it's so important. Even though I have, you know, over 100 answers in the book, I want people to think for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So my answer is not important, but thank you very much for wanting to, you know, to ask it. But I always approach this with, you know, no judgment, open mind. I never tried to tell anybody my answer. I didn't try to influence them with my beliefs or anything, because it was truly a no-judgment zone when I was asking this question.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my answer, I tried to push it out of my world so they wouldn't even pick up on anything.
Oh, interesting.
I really wanted to embrace them with acceptance.
Yes.
It's like no matter what your answer is, it's okay because it's your answer in this moment.
Yes, it's your personal experience.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the next moment, you may say, why the heck did I answer it that way? This is my answer. And that's okay, too.
Right.
It's all okay. Embrace it. It's change. It's wonderful. You're growing every second.
I love it.
And but it's all okay. But just answer the question.
Yes. Yes. Think about it.
Yes.
So, Louise, what's your website?
Very easy, just noexpertsneeded.com.
Great, and you've got a lot of information up there, I know, on yourself and your book. Can the book be purchased also through your website?
There's links to Amazon.com and all other major online resellers.
Great.
And any local bookstore can order it for you as well.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, you know, time is just gone by so quickly today, but I really want to squeeze in the last minute for your final thoughts, if you'd like to share anything with listeners.
Well, since we're taping around the holidays right now, I just, you know, want to encourage people to remember the meaning of the holidays. And when you're, you know, sitting next to aunt talks too much or uncle drinks too much, you know, put your ego aside and just look at them through spirit and maybe ask them the question, what is the meaning of life?
Oh.
And start a new dialogue around the dinner table and see what happens.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Louise. It's been great talking with you today. We wish you much success with your book. It's a great message, and just positive thoughts to you, and happy holidays as well.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Okay. Well, there you go, listeners. Wow, what a great interview. This has been Louise Lewis. The book, No Experts Needed, The Meaning of Life According to You, can be purchased through local and online booksellers. Her website, once again, noexpertsneeded.com. So thanks so much for listening to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.